This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Today, we're going to talk about the life and times of O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson was running back for the Buffalo Bills. He was the first running back in NFL history to rush for 2,000 yards, I believe. In his phenomenal career in media, sports casting, and movies, was overshadowed by the crime of the century, where he was acquitted for the killing of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. But before we go into this controversial man, I want you to listen to our sponsor. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles. Okay, now I am going to talk about Simpson's acting and media career. And the reason why I'm going to focus on this aspect of O.J. Simpson, because everybody forgets that O.J. Simpson was one of the first black athletes that was able to cross over to mainstream. This is one of the aspects of his career that the media does not want to talk about. So, O.J. Simpson began acting while at USC and appeared on Dragnet in an uncredited role as a potential recruit to the Los Angeles Police Department. He became a professional actor before playing professional football, appearing in the first episode of Medical Center while negotiating his contract with the Bills. Before his murder trial, sports trial, Ralph II, white people considered Simpson a unifying symbol of all races. History professor Lou Moore said that this made Simpson the first black athlete to be put on. In 1975, People magazine described Simpson as the first black athlete to become a bona fide, lovable media superstar. Simpson avoided starting in blaxploitation films, choosing third or fourth lead roles while studying experienced stars like Lee Marvin and Richard Burton. His Heinz Hertz commercials from 1975 benefit Simpson's acting career, but he sometimes intentionally chose non-positive roles. I got to tear down that picture of O.J. Simpson, the clean-cut athlete, to get believably into whatever part I happen to be playing. He said in the 1980s that the Oscar or the Emmy says you reach a level of competence in this business, and I would love to have one. While in the NFL, Simpson appeared in productions such as television miniseries, Roots, and the dramatic motion pictures The Klansman, The Towering Inferno, The Cassandra Crossing, and Capricorn One. In 1979, he started his own film production company, Oriental Productions, while dealt mostly in made-for-TV fare, such as the family-orientated Goldie in the Boxing films with Melissa Mickelson. Simpson said that he did not seriously consider an acting career until seeing Marvin and Burton while filming The Klansman in California, ordering chili from Chanson's VA private jet. Simpson appeared in the audience at NBC's Saturday Night Live during the second season and hopes an episode during his third season. In 1987, Simpson also made a cameo in the comedy Back to the Beach. He played Detective Nornberg in all three entries of the Naked Gun film trilogy, 1988, 1991, 1994, alongside Leslie Nielsen, Priscilla Presley, and George Kennedy. According to Arnold Schwarzenegger, Simpson was considered by director James Cameron to play the humorous character in The Terminator when Schwarzenegger was cast as Kyle Reese. The camera ultimately cast Schwarzenegger as The Terminator, while Simpson had no involvement in the film. Besides his acting career, Simpson works as a commentator for Monday Night Football, the NFL, and NBC. Simpson starred in the untelevising two-hour-long film pilot for Frogmen, an A-Team-like adventure series that Warner Brothers Television completed in 1994, a few months before the two murders he was accused of. NBC had not yet decided what to order the series when Simpson's arrest canceled the project. While searching his home, the police obtained a videotape copy of the pilot as well as the script and dialogues. Although the prosecution investigated reports that Simpson, who played the leader of a group of former United States Navy SEALs, received a fair amount of military training, including use of a knife for Frogmen, and there is a scene where he holds a knife to the throat of a woman. This material was not introduced as evidence during the trial. NBC executive Warren Littlefield said in July 1994 that the network would probably never air the pilot if Simpson were convicted. Most pilots that were 2 hours long are aired as TV movies, whether or not they're ordered as series. Because as the Los Angeles Times later reported, the appetite for all things OJ appeared insatiable during the trial. Warner Brothers and NBC estimated that a gigantic Super Bowl-like television audience would have watched the Frogmen film. Co-star Evan Handler said that the audience's decision not to air it or release it on home video and forego an estimated $14 million in profits was just about the only proof that you have that there is some dignity in the advertisement and television business. In 2006, Simpson started his own improv-based hidden camera prank TV show Juice. Typical of the genre, Simpson will play a prank on everyday people while secretly filming them, and at the end of each prank he will shout, "You've been juiced!" Each episode opened with topless strippers dancing around Simpson, who is dressed as a pimp and sings his own rap song. In one episode, Simpson is in a used car lot in Las Vegas, where he tells when he attempts to sell a white Ford Bronco, which became infamous during his 1994 police chase. A bullet hole in the front of the SUV is circled with his autograph, and he pitches it to a prospective buyer by saying if they ever get into some trouble and have a getaway, it has escapability. In another sketch, Simpson pretends to be having an affair with another man's girlfriend. Later, he transforms into an old white man whose dying wish is to call a game of bingo. Juice aired as a one-time special on pay-per-view television, and it was later released on DVD. Let's talk about O.J. Simpson's endorsements. Chuck Barnes helped Simpson form business relationships with Chevrolet and ABC early in his football career. By 1971, New York Magazine wrote that Simpson was already wealthy enough to retire this week if he wanted to. Beginning in 1975, he appeared in advertisements with the Hertz Rental Car Company. Commercials depicted Simpson running through airports as others shouted to him the Hertz slogan, "Go, OJ, go." He was the first black man to be hired for a major corporate national advertising campaign. Besides helping his acting career, Simpson estimated that he was a very successful superstar in the rental car campaign, raised the recognition rate among the people he met from 30% to 90%. Hertz's annual profit increased by 50% to $42 million within the first year. Brand awareness increased more than 40%, and 97% of the viewers understood that the commercials advertised Hertz, avoiding common vampire video problem. Simpson was so important to the company that CEO Frank Olson personally negotiated his contract, and Hertz used him for a usually long time for a celebrity endorser. Although Simpson less often in Hertz commercials by the 1980s, his relationship with the company continued. Simpson was to travel to Chicago to meet Hertz executives and clients on the night of the Brown-Goldman murder. Simpson used his admirable persona, good looks and charisma in many endorsement deals. Advertisement age in 1977, named Simpsons Magazine Star Presenter of the Year. By 1984, Consumer Research found that he was most popular athlete endorser. In 1990s, MCI Communications commercial starring Anise Simpson satirized her son's work. Other products produced Simpsons endorsed included Pioneer Chicken, Honey Baked Ham, Casota Water Company's line of Napa Natural Soft Drinks, and Dingo Cowboy Boots. As a president and CEO of O.J. Simpson Enterprises, he owned hotels and restaurants. While Simpson and Brown divorced in 1992, he had $10 million in assets and more than $1 million in annual income, including $550,000 from Hertz. Yeah, he was making a lot of money in endorsements. It's funny. This man was on the top. He was making all this money. He had all of these movie deals and endorsements. I didn't even know that he was supposed to be the Terminator in the first Terminator. That's crazy. He was on the verge of fame. Well, he was on the top of fame and fortune already in this one situation where this case completely turned him into a social pariah. And it's a shame because he was actually acquitted for the charges. Yeah, so O.J. Simpson may have been one of the first victims of cancel culture. Listen, you know, I believe O.J. Simpson is not guilty. And the reason why I feel is not guilty because the police officers who was handling the case got caught placing evidence on the murder scene. And because they got caught placing evidence on the murder scene is the reason why he got acquitted. That's the thing, man. You can be a black person in the entertainment industry on top of the world. Then when they cancel you, you lose all your money. Yeah, this is why you got to get right with your people. You know, he used to go around and say, I'm black and I'm OJ. And another thing, if you're an entertainer, you got to save your money, man. You got to save your money. And think about O.J. Simpson. He was good with his money. Which leads me to the next part of this podcast. Where I talk about, I'm reading an article for ESPN. And the title of the article is O.J. Simpson's Estate to Fight Payouts to Brown Goldman Families. Las Vegas, the executor of O.J. Simpson's estate, says he will work to prevent a payout of $33.5 million judgment awarded by a California civil jury nearly two decades ago in a wrongful death lawsuit filed by the families of Simpson's ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ron Goldman. Simpson was filed Friday in the Clark County Court of Nevada, naming his longtime lawyer Malcolm Levrang as the executor. The document shows Simpson property was placed into a trust that was created this year. Levrang told the Las Vegas Review-Journal that the entirety of Simpson's estate has not been tallied. Under Nevada law, an estate must go through the courts if his assets exceed $220,000. Simpson died Wednesday without having paid the lion's share of the civil judgment that was awarded in 1997 after the jurors found him liable. With his assets set to go through the court probate process, the Goldman and Brown families could be in line to get paid a piece of whatever Simpson left behind. Levrang, who had represented Simpson since 2009, said he specifically did not want the Goldman family to see any money from Simpson's estate. It is the hope that the Goldmans get zero, nothing, he told the Review Journal. Them specifically, and I will do everything in my capacity as the executor or personal representative to try and ensure that they get nothing. Laverne did not immediately return phone and email messages left by the Associated Press on Saturday. Although Brown and Goldman families have pushed for payment, Laverne said that there was never a court order for Urson Simpson to pay the civil judgment. The attorney told the Review Journal that his particular ire at the Goldman family stemmed in part from the events surrounding Simpson's planned book titled If I Did It. Goldman's family won the control of the manuscript and retitled the book If I Did It, Confessions of a Killer. Simpson's earned fame and fortune through football and show business, but his legacy was forever changed by June 1994 knife slayings of his ex-wife and Goldman in Los Angeles. He was acquitted of criminal charges in 1995 in a trial that mesmerized the public. Goldman's father, Fred Goldman, the lead plaintiff, said the issue was never the money. It was about holding Simpson responsible. He said in a statement Thursday that the Simpsons' death, the hope of true accountability has ended. The Goldman and Brown families will be on the lease equal footing with other creditors and will probably have an even stronger claim. Simpson's estate is settled under terms established by the trust created in January. This will list his four children and notes that any beneficiary who seeks to challenge provisions of the will shall receive free of trust $1 and no more in lieu of any claim interest in his will or assets. Simpson said he's lived only on his NFL and private pensions. Hundreds of valuable possessions he had been seized as part of the jury award. And the Simpson was forced to auction his Heisman Trophy, fetching $230,000. Yeah, so the Goldmans and the Browns is going after his money and his lawyer wants to make sure that the Goldmans don't get anything specifically. This is dirty business, I tell you. It's a lesson, man. It's a lesson. Everything can come crashing down. You could be the greatest running back of all time. You could be the first one to get all the endorsements and all of the love, and they could take everything away from you just like that in the snap of the fingers. You know, again, it's the police officer's fault. The police officers who was running the case. You should have never planted murder evidence. You know, if you would have respected this man's due process, who knows? O.J. Simpson would have been behind closed doors, but you guys wanted to cheat. And we black people, we were celebrating, not because we liked O.J. Simpson per se. We were celebrating because we was trying to tell you that the American justice system has been shafting us for years and then been planting evidence on us for years. And you guys don't want to listen. May O.J. Simpson rest in peace. May Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman rest in peace. I'm Jeffrey Frazier. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles signing off. Thank you.